This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. All right, guys, it's time to listen up. Does the thought of trimming your boys with one of those multi-blade razors scare the heck out of you? Because it should. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag the family jewels. Manscaping accents are finally a thing of the past, and they've also come up with a crop preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer that's perfect for those sensitive areas. So guys, right now you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIGHEADS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BIGHEADS. Always use the right tools for the job. Your boys will thank you.
We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs, as we give you our perspective on those last liability changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome into Season 2, Episode 13 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. I'm John, here as always, with my normal co-hosts, David and Matt. How's it going tonight, guys?
It's been a busy Monday already. I'm happy to just take a little breather from work and life and talk some sports for a little bit and kind of enjoy the remainder of the evening here.
Sounds good. Matt, what about you? Surviving the cold? Yeah.
Well, thank God no snow for the weekend. So it was actually 50 today. Got a little bit of warmth going. Didn't have a ton of ice or anything. So it's kind of nice to see everything melt and give us a couple extra days for kicks. So, truly happy about that. But I tell you what, man, there's a lot that happened in sports this week, so I'm excited to get into some of it.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and throw the green flag and talk a little football. So we had two pretty significant things that happened in the last week since we last recorded. Let's start with college football first. One being at the University of Alabama, Mr. Tua, a dislocated hip. Guys, what does this mean? Obviously, out for the season, so that, you know, that kills any kind of Heisman dream for 2019. But as far as moving into 2020 and his draft stock and kind of what we thought maybe of him prior to the season starting, where he's at, you know, stat wise at this point, and then now with the injury, where do you see things happening and shaking out with him, and how do you think that's going to impact both financially and then, obviously, you know, how could this impact draft order and how far do you think he might fall as a result of this? Dave, what about you?
Gosh, well, man, dislocated hip is not something you hear all the time, especially when there's a fracture to the posterior wall. The main comparison that I heard is Bo Jackson, and this is an injury that essentially ended his career playing. So it's kind of scary hearing about that, but there's been some reports out from the surgeon saying that, you know, it was a successful surgery. So he should be, you know, back to normal within a few months and back to football activities at some point in the spring, which is, you know, positive for him to hear. But gosh, you go back to that LSU game, he definitely was not 100% at that point. You could tell from his ankle he wasn't out there. But that's a game you want to be out and play for. There's a lot on the line there. But this game at Mississippi State, you should just sit him. He shouldn't even be out there playing. You're going to win. Think long term. Go for the playoffs, not just get some style points and go for the Heisman. But nevertheless, Saban let him out there, and this is kind of one of those freak injury things, not something you can really plan for. Gosh, you know, there's the tank for Tua. The Dolphins want him. Teams want him in the NFL. He's probably the number one quarterback coming off the draft before Saturday. Now with this, though, it's hard to think that he might come down. It's going to depend on, you know, medical clearance, what doctors think, how healthy he could be. Is he going to have that same speed, that electrifying talent that he had before this happened? So last year, the number one pick was on a 4-year contract for $35 million. Once you drop down to round two, though, the top pick in round two gets 7.9, top pick in round three, 4.2, and top pick in round four gets 3.3. So it dramatically decreases the farther down you go. You got to think his draft stock is going down because that's a scary injury. It's not just like, oh, your shoulder, you dislocate your wrist or something. I mean, that's your hip. That's controlling, you know, a large function of your body here.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time, but so much of you of players putting in, you know, putting their bodies on the line for college athletics. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's pride and everything else involved, but in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't mean much of anything if you get hurt. So, you know, we've talked in depth about players being paid and, you know, getting endorsement deals and things of that nature, but it's just another unfortunate example of the risk that these guys put in every single week. And you're right. I mean, this could cost him literally multi-millions of dollars when it's all said and done. I mean, yeah, I was looking at his stats, and I mean, so far the season, you think even if he just stays consistent throughout the rest of the season and stayed healthy, I mean, the guy is 71, almost 72% completion percentage, just under 3,000 yards already at this point in the season. This was incredible to me. 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, he's been sacked. So last year he was sacked 13 times. He's already been sacked 10 times this year. So, you know, go back to, like, protecting your real estate, protecting your quarterback. You know, I think Alabama quarterbacks sometimes get a little bit of a blessing because of the fact that, you know, Bama is Bama, and they're, you know, the biggest thing in college football most years. So I feel like, you know, you have to take that into mind when you're looking at drafts. And just because a guy is good at Bama does not mean he's going to be necessarily good at your worst, you know, place team in the NFL when he's, you know, not when, or when he's hurried up and under pressure constantly. But yeah, I mean, this is significant. And yeah, I mean, we're not going to see him play again until, you know, 2020 NFL season. So someone's going to have to take a risk. Now, if you're the Dolphins or whatever, I mean, I don't know if you have much to lose. You're terrible as it is. So Tank for Tua may still be very much in play, but yeah, I mean, it's they're going to have to make a lot of judgments, and, you know, hopefully they get some combine time with him. Hopefully he's healthy by then to at least show that he can still, you know, maintain that speed at least.
Well, I think you need to take a look at a couple things. So as David mentioned, and let's drop the draft stock for a minute. Let's just talk about the injury he had. He went to one of the top orthopedic surgeons in the world. Everywhere you look up Dr. Kane's information, he's listed as a top orthopedic in the world, not in the nation, not in his side of the, you know, city or whatever, in the world. You know, what I couldn't figure out is why they shipped him to Houston to get that done when it looks like he works out of Alabama anyway. So, kind of an interesting setup, but supposedly he's going to be back in the next few days into Alabama. So let's take a look at the injury. So as David said, this ended Bo's career, right? And when you look at the hip, I mean, you're talking about something that we see hips usually on older patients, right? Geriatric society that, you know, they fall, they break that hip, and it's a long time recovery just because of their age. Now take it into a guy that's fully healthy, you know, minus his last injury, but, you know, a very healthy young man has a lot of ability to recover, but you're looking at an injury that didn't even look like he hit that hard, but then all of a sudden fractures that wall. And as they put it, he's screaming in pain. So this is a tough kid. You know, there's nothing in there. He's taken hits, licks, busted chops all the way up till now. And all of a sudden he's screaming in pain. So if you look at the injury for what it is, this is definitely a 6 to 8 month recovery at best. So as a junior, he's got an opportunity. Now he's going to miss out a year on the NFL, but I think the question now comes down to, does he take one more year at Alabama or does he try to take his chances at the draft because of what he was beforehand? But if he takes to the draft, as David said, I'm not seeing him as a first round pick. You know, I'm sure the NFL drafters are going to be looking at, you know, what's the latest they can take him or trade him for. But I wouldn't be looking at a first round no matter how good he is, because now he's damaged goods, and not just a small injury, a major orthopedic injury. And let's be honest, when you take that kind of hit, I don't care how mentally strong you are in the back of your head. Every time some dude comes at you sideways, especially in that position, you don't control what's going on. Some guy hits you from the blind side and hits you the wrong way. You're thinking about that hip. So I think there's going to be a long time for his recovery mentally as much as it is physically. So I think he's got such a long road of recovery. You know, I'm almost wondering, does it make sense for him to go one more year and try to give those guys reason to draft him coming out of his senior year?
Well, I mean, that's a risk. Like, it's all about that risk versus reward. So you think, like, let's just say best case scenario is a second round pick, which might be optimistic. I don't know. It depends on just kind of how the recovery goes. Obviously, his doctor said that the prognosis was excellent coming out of a very successful surgery. So, you know, you hope that he makes a full recovery on that deal. But let's say what was the dollar amount for the second round pick?
$7.9 for the top pick in round two.
So let's say he's a top pick in the round two, just for kicks and giggles. If you go out now and you move up to the draft or move up to the NFL and get drafted, then you know you at least you're guaranteed at some point some decent money moving into your future. So, you know, let's say he gets hurt week one, at least he's got a little bit of money to fall back on as far as future standpoint. But at the same time, if he goes another year in college, let's say he gets hurt or just isn't the same guy and just seems slow and lost a lot of his ability to be agile, then he could fall significantly down the order or not get drafted at all. But if he's successful and he has a healthy year and can stay off the injury bug, then he could find himself back in round one again and making $30-plus million. So, I mean, the thing is, do you risk taking, you know, a fraction of what you probably were going to get and just say, yeah, I got some money now and I have something to fall back on just in case? Or do you kind of go, you know, all in on red on that roulette wheel and hopefully you get out of it unscathed and that you land on red. So I don't know what that's a big one.
Well, all in on crimson, at least.
Yeah. At least it'd be the right color red.
Yeah. It's hard to think, you know, the tape on him's good. Every NFL scout has seen him play. I think it's going to come down to the doctor's medical clearance. You know, even at the combine, he might not be throwing or running. I can imagine every team's going to have their doctor there wanting to just kind of take a look at him as well and just, you know, get a prognosis on him and see what they have compared to what, you know, his personal doctors or Alabama team doctors say. But the tape's there. So if he's healthy, I mean, I have no doubt he'll be drafted. Probably just won't be, unfortunately, as high as what it would have been on Friday.
Right. And this, you know, at the combine, does he pull one of those? No, we're not going to run drills. We're here for interviews. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're only going to throw, you know, we're not going to do this or that.
I don't know that he has that option at that point. That top money, they're going to sit there and interview you. And if you're not willing to submit, then you're basically telling them there's something wrong.
Yeah, it's true. But we've seen, like, not this situation, but we've seen drama queens in the NFL who have, or in college football, that have refused to do this or that. And have still been drafted highly just based on potential and, mm-hmm. and stock, you know, like the stock that they built up. So, I mean, he doesn't seem like that type of kid from everything, you know, that I've seen in interviews over the years. He's always seems like he's been pretty humble, and given the situation that he was kind of thrown into there in that national championship game. And so it doesn't seem like his personality to go out and do that. But, you know, he's going to be cautious, yeah. It seems like. And then, Matt, to your point, yeah, how do you get overcome the mental game? Even if he's 100% healthy, he gets drafted week one in preseason, you know, and he's got, you know, Khalil Mack, someone running down his throat. Like, yeah, is he going to be really eager to take that hit, or is he going to drop down and try to pull the Peyton Manning, but not in a Peyton Manning kind of way, you know, not longevity, but more on fear. So, I don't know. All right, guys. Well, let's move on to another interesting moment in the world of football. Moving on up to the NFL. Steelers versus Browns last week. A lot of people saw it live. If not, you probably got a text notification from your buddies or your family members or something like that telling you to turn on SportsCenter, because it was kind of like one of the incidents that shocked at least the NFL world, probably American sports world as a whole. But you've got two guys that, you know, have a little extracurricular activity there between Rudolph and Myles Garrett. First off, what do you think about the outcome of this? So Rudolph's got currently no suspension. They said he's likely to get fined. And then obviously Miles suspended indefinitely, which in the NFL, that it's a broad term, in the, you know, based on their track history. But first off, what do you think of the penalties itself?
Gosh, well, I mean, the three of us are not really that old, but just listening to some of the sports personalities who are a good 20, 30 years older than us, all of them have said the same thing. I thought, I've never seen anything like that on any level. So this is, I mean, it's a new territory for football in general.
But is it though? But is it?
It totally is.
If you go back to the old NFL days where you had, you truly had some of these really old rivalries. I mean, talk about old school rivalries. Is it really that far-fetched? Or because, you know, those guys were pretty rough and tumble. It's not today's world where we're protecting these guys. You know, those guys were go play. You get a concussion, what's that?
You're right. But there's a difference between getting a concussion on the field and assaulting somebody. Here's the thing. If this would have taken place on the streets in Cleveland instead of on the football field, he'd be in jail right now for an assault. You can't just hit somebody with it. Pounds. Just think of your standard brick weighs 5 pounds. I mean, this is heavier than a brick for people who have not picked up a football helmet. So Myles Garrett, yeah, I think it's good that he's definitely done for the season, 6 games, and in any potential playoff games, he's done. He's being fined. He's suspended without pay. So I think that's a good start. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out all next season. Some people think it definitely should be longer. Rudolph, though, I can't get over the fact that he's not suspended at all. If you go back and look at the tape, you can see him mouthing something. Nope, I can't really tell what he's saying, but, you know, he's kicking him. He's trying to pull his helmet off. There's already some resistance going on before that. So I'm not really sure it's equal here.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our advertisement to start the episode, manscaped.com. And it looked like he was trying to do a little manscaping on Miles Garrett because, you know, the foot was definitely in the sensitive region of the family jewels. I mean, he was trying to rip the helmet off first. He definitely kicked him in, you know, the sweet spots there where the sun don't shine. And so, yeah, the we all saw the helmet. We all saw the helmet get ripped off and him get hit in the head and et cetera, et cetera. And he played that kind of victim card. But when you look at the grand scheme of things and you slow it down, you see the camera of them like zoomed in when they're actually going down to the ground and where it all starts. We're also one that's honestly like he escalated it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, Miles escalated to a whole other, he went up another 10 notches, but Rudolph, you know, he definitely initiated this situation. Which is brave of him, given his size compared to Miles Garrett. But, yeah, I mean, I think so talking to some buddies the other day, the NFL has an interesting situation on their hands. They have been so lenient on some pretty significant things in the world outside of football.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to something on field, you know, a guy gets suspended indefinitely. So, you know, I'm not wanting to get into all those things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of things that have happened that should never happen, criminal type things where guys have only gotten 2 or 4 or 8 games, something like that. And then you have something that happens on field in the heat of the moment, the heat of the battle on the football field, on the gridiron, and a guy is suspended indefinitely. Like, I don't feel like, while that's bad, I don't feel like those are it's not an apples to apples comparison there. So how do you be so lenient on one thing and then go to the maximum level on something that happens on the field?
Don't know. One other thing that's really got me confused with this, both the Steelers and Browns organizations were fined $250,000. Yeah, that's a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of things for those owners, it's not really a drop in the bucket. But the Patriots were fined $1 million for Deflategate, for taking air out of a football. The Saints were fined $500,000 for Bountygate, which, no, they weren't hitting people in the head with a helmet, but they were still trying to, you know, injure somebody to get them out of the game. But only $250,000 here for what happened. I don't really understand the reasoning behind that. It seems like priorities are a little off on this from the NFL side.
So, guys, tell me this. If you had to stack rank the two between what happened last week and Bountygate, which one do you think is more severe? you know, you've got intentional, like, pre-planned, quote-unquote, attacks on the football field to try to take out guys versus two dudes that on the football field have been scrapping. I mean, we've all played football. We've all had scraps shoot with our own teammates in practice. Things get heated. You definitely had it in games. Yeah, granted, we've never taken it to that level. But you better believe there was plenty of pushing and shoving and mouth running and everything else along the way. I mean, where do you – what are your guys' opinion on that between the two? What's the more severe one?
I'm going to say bounty
gate. Matt, what do you think?
Which was the other one you were talking about?
Bounty gate with the Saints from
five,
6 years ago.
Bounty gate by far.
I mean, it's premeditated.
But it's something that everybody knew was going on. So, you know, I don't know. Again, this just comes back to it's football, and you're trying to protect these guys, but that's an old ways ingrained behavior was to tell your defense or your offense to go take out a really good player. You know, now I'm not saying that they definitely need to be against that kind of thing, but it's the sport. That's sports in general. If that number one player is not there, then sure frees up some extra space. So yeah, I'd say that was a much worse offense.
Well, really, I mean, a week ago, for
losing control of their team and letting them all onto the field. That's what they're being fined for.
Yeah, so, I mean, last week we talked about load management with the NBA and how the star player there, you know, isn't playing, then the NBA is going to crack down on these teams and fine them significantly. This is kind of the reverse. This is whereas that's being preventive and to try to keep a guy healthy for the long run for the title push. You know, Bounty Gate was talking about guys who were literally intentionally trying to take out franchise quarterbacks and franchise players. And yet the NBA has a stiffer punishment on these teams who are just resting players than the NFL does on guys intentionally trying. I mean, you're talking about taking out a guy's livelihood, ending careers, you know, taking away a guy's ability to walk when he's 40 years old because of injuries, things like that. Like, that's where the NFL is too inconsistent. And that's where I think they've gotten themselves in a sticky situation when it comes to things like Bounty Gate, or especially when it comes to things of off the field nature that, you know, they take that so lightly, but then things like this on the field, they try to crack down on it. Like, that's where I feel like there needs to be a line drawn somewhere and they need to take a stand one way or the other, but I don't think this was the one they needed to take a stand on.
No. It seems like there's a lot of leeway with the current CBA, and when the next one comes up in 2-3 years, I hope they actually take some time to sit down and come up with more consistent consequences for things on the field and off the field. Because right now, yeah, as you said, it's very inconsistent with some of the punishments that are handed out for things off the field. But quick prediction question for you two. Does Myles Garrett play next season at all?
Yep. Yep.
I think so.
Okay.
Well, so he's got a hearing Wednesday, I believe,
mm-hmm.
whereas supposedly he's going to argue that under the current CBA, he cannot be suspended indefinitely based on the current CBA. And the CBA is probably 400 pages long, and I haven't hired an attorney to interpret it for me. But I got to think he might actually have a point there, because I would think that the NBA, or excuse me, that the Players Association would have built into that to protect themselves for on the field stuff. I mean, that was something, you know, we talked really heavily here in Chicago about Roquan Smith, and he kind of held out. And a lot of that holdout was because he wanted protection in his contract for things that may occur on the field. If he gets suspended in the heat of the moment, let's take a situation like this. He wanted financial protection in the event that the NFL tried to come down on him. And that was where a lot of the holdup is when it all came said and done. Now, a lot of people aren't too happy about all the situation, but once it kind of leaked out, here's what's really the sticking situation. A lot of people kind of understood. We're not talking about off the field stuff. We're not talking about, you know, getting in bar fights and things like this. We're talking about, you know, a targeting hit or something like that, whereas a linebacker may be in contact and be put in that situation quite frequently. So, you know, I'm wondering if, when looking back at the Roquan Smith situation, if Myles Garrett might very well have a point about the current CBA and what's actually capable of doing.
Well, let's talk real quick. I don't have a horse in this race. So I don't care about either team. I'm going to try and look at this as objectively as possible. Having played up to the college level, you're asking grown men that all we do is lift and eat and go to practice, go to class, you know, and then lift and eat and work out again, who have a lot of pressure on us to perform and be this symbol of, I don't know, Spartan, you know, and this primo athlete, right, warrior. You want us to back down when we get in the heat of the moment. Now, here's what bugs me about all this, all right? Now, does Miles have a history of, you know, putting some good hits on quarterbacks, maybe a little bit late? Yeah. But that's kind of been a change more for this year on protecting quarterbacks. Don't touch them high. Don't touch them low. You know, so you're asking guys to make major changes, and everybody still wants to make that big tackle on a quarterback. I mean, that's what gets you paid in the end of the year and makes it a big deal. Plus, it's kind of hard to stop all that weight going forward if you're already launched. One. Two. So we've gone over the aggressiveness. We've gone over this guy having a little bit of a history. Now, this situation, he made a great sack leading up to this situation. He made a great sack. Miles gets upset. The clock is running. He's already thrown four picks. He's already frustrated and furious somewhere between the team, himself, whatever's in his mind. So he grabs on to the helmet, throws a kick to the crotch, and supposedly even started throwing racial slurs in there, which nobody has, you know, brought into play yet. And all he did was talk trash at basically everything that was related to media about how much of a punk and Bush League and all these other things that Myles Garrett is, right? Myles Garrett, look, I lost my cool. I'm sorry. Like, didn't even take time to cool off in the locker room or anything because, you know, I mean, he went straight in there. They're interviewing the locker room. I made a mistake. I lost my cool. It's not me. I'm sorry. But it's okay for Rudolph to run his mouth. And again, as David said, like, we're looking at a fine for Rudolph, but because Garrett lost his cool, yeah, okay. But you also had Rudolph chasing after him through a tackle, still running his mouth. And who knows what was said there? So I think there's way more that's going on. I'd like to see Rudolph really catch a couple games suspension at least, not paid, you know, all those types of things are really getting started. But let's be honest, let's go back to the rule. The rule is the guy who reacts second is the one that gets caught.
Yeah, it's always the case.
That's why.
Well, remind me, guys, do you guys remember, like, when Dumb and Sue, like, you know, had the stomp and everything else?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anybody remember what the punishment was for that?
I think it was only, like, three games or so. It wasn't very much.
I feel like Rudolph falls in that category. I feel like that's a similar situation. So, now, the other thing I want to ask you guys on this topic before we move on to a break. Matt, you're in hockey country. I know, you know, we talk Blackhawks, things like that. So, in the world of hockey, I mean, I know you got a minor league team not too far away. We've all been to minor league games, and obviously you see it in the NHL as well. Guys beat the crap out of each other after the whistle on a routine basis. Even during the whistle, there's guys getting slashed, sticks up to the face, guys getting, you know, hit in the eyes and cut open. And then, obviously, brawling is a full-on acceptable event in the world of hockey. And we don't bat an eye on that. In fact, when it happens, we usually jump up and, you know, scream and holler and cheer and everything else. So, I kind of got myself... I can't give myself credit for this because I'm not the one that thought about this, but someone kind of level checked at me because I was like, oh man, like he's lucky he's not getting assault charges and blah, blah, blah. And then someone brought up like, aren't you a hockey fan? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, don't they fight all the time in hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about two sports that are both brutal and physically demanding, a lot of contact, a lot of heated emotions, things like that. But why does society, why is the media, why is everything else honing in on this situation when, you know, probably already this week there's been probably 15 fights in the NHL and nobody's thought two things about it? There's no suspensions, no anything like that. Guy gets in the box for 5 minutes or so, he's out, and he's playing again. So I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
I thought it was funny as I was reading down the comments, as you kind of you know, alluded to, was somebody said, this is basically armed battery, assault and battery. Like, he's chewing him out. He hits him with the helmet. He, you know, shouldn't he be escorted out by the police and taken to jail? Pretty sure that this is common occurrence inside of football every day. Can we just call the quarterback stupid for chasing after somebody who has a weapon that's like basically being pushed away and more or less like clearing out, and you went and challenged him again and he's got a weapon in hand? I mean, I don't know how that holds up in court, but you just, what do you want the guy to be arrested for? You have an aggressor that's continuing to push in a heated moment when they're all wearing pads, and he did it without even having a helmet on. I did this when I was in college. There would be fights on the practice field, and I had a couple guys take their helmets off and come after me, and I'm just staring at them going, I'm going to strap mine up a little tighter. It's your stupidity for swinging without a helmet on.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, we don't think anything about those situations. We definitely don't think anything about hockey, but we all freaked out about this, and I'm just as guilty. Like, I was like, holy cow, I'm rewinding, I'm texting all you guys, texting my buddies. I'm like, turn on the TV, like, you know, he's done, he's going to suspend it, blah, blah. And then someone was like, yeah, don't you watch hockey?
Yeah, I think
it's an interesting situation.
Yeah, the big difference here is in football, this is out of the norm, which is probably the big reason why it sticks out like a sore thumb, where in hockey, it's just, it's another Tuesday. I mean, it's just another game that you go see and there's a fight, which I think is why the whole sports world is just wrapped up in this, that this does not happen in football on TV, and all of a sudden it did. So it's a new territory that we have to kind of conquer and see where do we go from here.
Well, yeah. It certainly seems like something that the NFL is trying to get away from. Again, you know, you get a really big rival match. I'm surprised we don't see more of this. Again, this is the referees trying to control us. This is the NFL trying to control us and say we're cleaner. We're the ones that are out there. Because, again, you don't see hockey saying, oh, my gosh, concussion. You're letting guys fly at you and slam you into a wall head first. Oh, they're wearing a helmet too, but I don't see you. You know, if they go head-to-head with that, their helmet sure as heck doesn't have the same protection that a football helmet does. I'll tell you that. But we're okay with it. I mean, what do you want? Is it because kids don't play hockey as much, but they do play football? Because it's like, you know, quote-unquote America's pastime now? So,
yeah,
I don't understand.
The differences.
Right, it's just the NFL kind of trying to set who they want to be in the future and how they want to do these things, and that's fine. They can do it. They're a league. They're a paid league, so they can set themselves up however they want. You know, this kind of just looks at, so what's the XFL going to hold?
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, he might encourage some fighting or something. Amen. He might have the people's elbow off the goalpost or something.
Right?
All right, guys. Well, let's take a quick break, thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back to get a little crap talking, talk some predictions, and see where we end up last week and get ready for next week. So we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, Sports Talk Garage Podcast friends, this is Matt. Let's talk real quick. Most of us have made a sports better too with friends or coworkers at some point on our favorite teams, but when you want to make a bet past the bragging rights stage or for more than $5, it can be difficult outside of visiting a casino, which usually isn't very accessible. MyBookie is the way to make that happen. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and most prop bets of any sportsbook on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. Best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Use promo code LATEFEES, all one word, to activate the offer. That's promo code LATEFEES to double your cash. This offer only goes through November 11th, so get started now. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 13 of the Sports Talk Garage. We're talking football injuries and football fights in the world of college and NFL. Just got done talking about some crazy situations, but let's move on to the prediction game and get into another sticky situation between all four of us. So let's throw the white flag and do a quick recap of last week. Before we do that, Dave, why don't you take a quick second and tell everybody where they can find us online and how they can get a hold of us.
Our website, Sports Talker, Chris created this for us. Wonderful website, has all our information, all our past episodes. Make sure you go on there and take a look at those. Also, if you like an episode, make sure you go onto any podcasting platform, give us a 5-star, go ahead and subscribe. We want to hear about that as well. Social media, check us out on Twitter at Sports Garage Pod. We're very active on there. Good way to reach out to us. Leave some comments, engage, interact with us. If you're topic you're interested in, want to talk about, we're happy to talk with you anytime. Lastly, if you want to send us an email for show notes, just some comments about what you heard on the show, feedback at sportstalkgarage.com.
Thanks, David. All right, so recap week 12 games. The first one our producer had was Wake Forest, Demon Deacons at Clemson Tigers. Clemson was favored by 32.5. Matt, you were the lone wolf on this one, took Clemson. The rest of us went the under.
I told you, they have to make a statement here. They didn't
have
a problem doing it.
They did. Clemson they won sure by did. 39, so point to Matt on this one. Next one, Oklahoma Sooners at the Baylor Bears. The over on this one was 67. This was tight. The final ended up being 65. So Chris and I get the loss. David and Matt, you guys pick it up. It was a close one, but a point is a point. Yeah, a win is a win.
Doesn't matter how close. Can.
NFL, Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers. The Niners were favored by 13. I, unfortunately, was a lone wolf that expected more out of them. I guess, you know, in their sake, that win is a win, but not for me. 49ers only won by 10. Chris, David, and Matt all get a point. And lastly, Denver Broncos at Minnesota Vikings. They were under 38.5. The final ended up being 50 combined points. So Chris, David, and myself all got points on there. Finally, I got myself on the board after a pretty horrific week. Let's just recap standings. Chris, after he was 2-2 in this week, David was 3-1. Myself was 1-3, and Matt was 3-1. So David and Matt, congrats to both of you for winning. Overall standings, yeah. Matt has made a little comeback here. 25-23-1, followed by David here as well, tied at 25-23-1. Then I am 24-24-1, and Chris, our producer, is bringing up the rear now. Oh, how quickly things can shuffle in this prediction world at 23-25-1. So we're all within a couple of games of each other. We just can't seem to separate ourselves one way or the other.
So let's try to do that this week.
Boom shakalaka.
We're all trying to get above 500, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right, week 13, guys, college football. Who's going to cover? Number 9, Penn State. They're 9-1 at number 2, Ohio State, undefeated currently. Saturday noon on Fox. Ohio State is currently favored by 18 points. Matt, you're an Ohio State guy. Who are you taking on this one?
That's not enough. Penn State's coming off of two losses now, or I'm sorry, one loss. They almost lost to Indiana, and now they're going to be playing at the Shoe, Ohio State. Ohio State has yet to give anything. I believe we're looking at a return of our famous defensive end here. So, yeah, we're in good shape.
All right, David, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going Ohio State. Well, 18 seems a little low. Penn State is a fantastic team, but Ohio State's been on a tear recently, and yeah, especially with Chase Young most likely coming back, that's going to make it even tougher for that offense on Penn State. So let's give it up to the Buckeyes for this one.
All right. Our producer, Chris, is also picking Ohio State, and I'm going to go opposite of all you guys. So I went a little wild with what was that, Michigan, Penn State. You guys said I was crazy.
And it worked.
And got myself a point. So I'm going to ride that lucky dog with Penn State, and hopefully they don't get blown out by 50, which might happen, but we'll see. Come on, boys. All right, sticking on to college football. Who will cover, guys? Arkansas, they're 2-8, yikes, at number one LSU's 10-0 Saturday night, 7 p.m. on ESPN. LSU is currently favored by 44 points. Holy cow.
My word.
Isn't this Clinton's hometown? Bill Clinton.
Arkansas,
like,
yeah.
Yes, it is. So 44 points, that is more than 6 touchdowns. Granted, Arkansas sucks. LSU's the best team in the nation, but they're still an SEC team. They're still going to be good. I'm going Arkansas. They'll at least cover that.
All right, Matt, what about you?
I think Joe Burrow's got the arm to beat. I'm going to say LSU.
All right. Our producer is going to go with David. Picking Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, Matt, I'm going to ride with you. Ride or die, buddy. Let's go LSU.
Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
You're going to be disappointed.
Just need 45. Yikes. I'm a little – maybe you're instantly regretting that decision.
Already regret.
All right, moving on to the NFL. Who's going to cover, guys? Packers 8-2. At 49ers 9-1. Sunday night on NBC. 49ers currently favored by just 3 points. It's basically a wash game, guys. Matt, who you got on this?
You know, even with the 49ers coming off a loss, I've got the 49ers here. I think that they just, you know, especially being at home, it's tough to play against somebody like that in their home territory.
All right, David, what about you?
If this was in Green Bay, I would say 100% Packers being in the cold. But it's in San Francisco, so I'm having some trouble with this. But I'm still going to go Packers.
All right. Our producer Chris is picking 49ers. And you know me, I'm likely not ever going to pick the Green Bay Packers for anything unless it's the, yeah, who deserves to be crapped on most award. So I'm going 49ers as well. Let's hope it doesn't backfire on me and Aaron Rodgers doesn't be Aaron Rodgers. So, all right, guys. Lastly, NFL over-under, Seahawks 8-2 at the Eagles playing in Philly. It's a tough place to play. 5-5. Will the teams combine for more or less than 49 points? David, over or under?
Russell Wilson is amazing MVP candidate. I was going to say cold, but it's cold in Seattle, so Philly's not going to change anything there. I think it's going to be airing it out. Not a lot of running here, so I'm going over.
All right, Matt?
I think you're going to see a lot of open architecture here because, especially with Seattle coming off a big win, I'm going to say over.
All right. I'm going to go with you guys as well, so don't disappoint me. I'm going over. Let's hope we get at least 49 points. And our producer, Chris, is going to be the lone wolf on this one. He's going under. So we shall see come Sunday afternoon. But all right, guys, let's throw the checkered flag. Any final thoughts, Matt? What about you for the week?
You know, I'm still kind of fired up over what happened last week. You know, I had a couple good wins inside of fantasy. So, you know, hopefully we're going to carry through to this week and see what happens. But, you know, I'm just excited. This football's starting to really wind up into getting ready for playoffs and especially in the college realm. So, be watching in on some football this week.
All right, David, what about you?
Well, as Matt mentioned, fantasy football. Myself and John are actually playing this week, and I think I'm going to win this matchup, so that makes me happy right here. Outside of that, though, disappointment is going to be the key word. My Panthers laid a complete goose egg against the Falcons. They only got 3 points. It was just, it was about as bad as it can go.
So it wasn't a complete goose egg.
Okay, not a complete goose egg, but it was. Close enough. So I'm ready to move on from that. Yeah, I don't know what to do there. So, disappointment.
Yeah, and David, I think you lost our last match by half a point.
Yes.
I thought things were looking pretty good. I thought it was going to be another close one. But my boy, Damian Williams, out with a rib injury early in the game. So he only got me 1 point tonight in the current KC Chargers game down in Mexico. So, yeah, I think this one's unfortunately a lock unless Bosa just goes on a tear and starts sacking someone in the next 52 seconds. Yeah.
So one last thing, though. I do live in ACC country. Basketball is going, so I'm going to buy some ACC tickets. first games coming in February for UNC Duke coming to town, so I'm excited for those.
Nice.
Sweet.
And, I got college football coming up. Excited to talk some Formula One later this week. And then the Sports Talk Garage is going to the United Center in Chicago for a little Chicago Blackhawks versus Tampa Bay Lightning Thursday night. So looking forward to that, going with some friends, and hopefully we keep up our little hot streak. So, all right, guys. Well, let's call it a night. It's been fun, and we'll see how these predictions play out. You guys have a great night.
You too.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.